Casey Hill is not a doctor and does not claim to be a doctor or licensed in any type of medical field. Don't be an idiot and use anything heard on the show as medical advice. This information should be used for educational purposes only, and you should contact your doctor for any medical advice. Now get off me. Welcome to Kick It Naturally. I'm Kenna McEnroe, and I'm here with T.C. Hale, author, natural health expert, producer.
Blabby, blooby, blooby. We also have Willie Patati, Willie Smarty, Blabby.
We have Hottie Patati, Will Schmidt today, too, from the Bay Area. Hi, Will.
How's it going?
It's going good. So today is part two of fibromyalgia, and we're just going to get right into all the good stuff because we got a lot of stuff to cover.
We got a lot to cover. So the important thing to understand is that if you didn't listen to part one, you're doing it wrong.
Yeah, you got to listen to that, and it'll also tell you where to, you know, like us on Facebook so you can find out about other show topics.
Yeah, so go to kickitnaturally.com, and you can put in the search box fibromyalgia so you can find all the number one part of the episode too, so you can listen to all the introduction we explained. Of there's a lot of information you need to know.
It's kind of boring, but you know,
yeah, good.
For people like me. Right.
So let's get right into some questions because we have a lot and we have some case studies too.
Okay, Roxanne, why do some of the people I know who have had their gallbladder removed now have fibromyalgia? It's missing the gallbladder and it's crying for them?
It's two for one. When you get to have the gallbladder removed, they also give you fibromyalgia for free.
Okay,
it's like
nice.
A bonus. Yeah, it's not going to be all cases, but like we talked about a lot last week, if digestion is not working correctly, there's a lot of reasons and a lot of things that can go wrong that can push you towards a systemic pain type situation. And when the gallbladder's gone, there's no place to store bile so that it can drop down on the acidic product leaving the stomach and neutralize it and really break apart all the food so we can pull all the nutrients out. So digestion is not working as well. And over time, what kind of problems does that cause, Will Schmidt?
A couple. Well, we've got lack of healthy fats getting into the system, so that can create some hormonal imbalances, can interfere with regular thyroid function, but also just the health of the membranes of the cells. If you have lower cholesterol, that's not good. Then additionally, you can also have some more intestinal damage that can occur. Like if you're not neutralizing the acid from your stomach, bile plays a role in that. There's also pancreatic bicarbonate, which helps to counter that. But if you do have sort of some inflammation occurring in your intestinal tract because of acid burns that are occurring because you don't have enough bile to neutralize it, then that too can impair the ability of the intestines to absorb nutrients, and that can create further energy depletion and can also create some other perforations where toxins can get into the bloodstream unfiltered, and that can cause systemic inflammation.
Right. And, you know, Will, when he's saying that the fats don't get into the system correctly, is because we need that bile to emulsify the fats and kind of break them down so the body can use them. And also, both sides of that digestion need to be working correctly, the acid side and the alkaline bile side, so that we can really break apart the food and pull out minerals and nutrients that we need. And that's interesting because one of the most common things to do for people with fibromyalgia is to treat it with antidepressants and anti-seizure medications, which really tells us that a lot of these people dealing with this problem are very low blood pressure, low resource, low mineral levels, because antidepressant drugs work because they restrict a person's ability to pee out their salts and minerals. So it kind of holds more in the body and allows the body to use those minerals. And in a much worse case, a person can have seizures, and that's kind of how a lot of anti-seizure medications work as well. Do you have any thoughts on that too, Will?
I think the healthier way to go about it is to try to look at, like, what is causing all this sort of spasmodic activity in motor cells and motor nerves, as well as all this constant irritation and excitation of the sensory neurons. Like, what is it that's making them so sensitive? And there's a lot of different things we talked about in the first part of this podcast series, like last episode, where we talked about why the nerves might be overexcited and some nutritional steps you could take to calm your nerves. But additionally, like, it boils down to big problem of not having enough energy for the cells to function right, and that can lead to inflammation and excess excitation. So we want to look at systemically, what can we do to get the body to have the energy that it needs so the cells can run properly and so that there aren't aggravating antigens coming in and causing inflammation.
You know something, Will, you might remember like 175 million episodes ago when we talked about menstrual cramps. We talked about how a lot of women will have lower back pain, but it's just around their period. And then their cramps are really severe. And a lot of times the cramps are really bad because there's not enough calcium at the tissue level to allow that tissue to relax. And it's very similar to what happens in a Charlie horse. So one thing that can exist is when a person doesn't have resources. Will was talking a little bit last episode how the body will kind of break itself down to get the nutrients that it needs if they're not coming in through the digestive process. But when that happens, a lot of times the body will go into the tissues and pull out things that it's looking for, like phosphorus, but calcium can come with that. And then the phosphorus will get used up and the calcium just gets kind of dropped and it can deposit into joints and create problems that way. But even in the beginning, without enough calcium at that tissue level, the muscles can become tighter and they have an inability to relax properly because the calcium is needed in that function. So a lot of people with these low resources and the body's eating itself, basically, the pain could be created just from the tissues becoming too tight and creating an imbalance in that whole flow that goes on in the cells and out of the cells. So it's just another way that it's possible to create pain that's totally different than the ways that we were talking about last week. If you think about a Charlie horse, it's usually an occasional thing. It doesn't happen all day long, but you can see how a minor situation that is similar to that could create tightness and pain throughout a day. So let's look a little bit into a case study where we look at some people's numbers and situations they were dealing with. Let's look at Nancy.
Nancy, her last name is Case Study.
Yeah.
I take Nabumetone, right? Did I butcher it? Nabutone?
Nabumetone.
Nabumetone, okay. Methotrexate, low dose of prednisone, and Plaquenil. 4RA, for which I was diagnosed at age 13. Wow. I am menopausal and use both estradiol, right? Yeah. And estrovin, maximum strength.
They're both estrogen things for people that are menopausal.
I figured with the est at the beginning. Strength to control the effects as I had a complete hysterectomy over 12 years ago. I take Synthroid for hypothyroidism. I also take Protonix for acid reflux and both Claritin and Benadryl for allergies. For my immune deficiencies, I take 4,000 milligrams a day of vitamin C and 3,000 milligrams of calcium, along with 5,000 milligrams each of D3 and B12. Have been dealing with weight gain. You may stop there or go on?
So let's talk about a couple of these things, Will, and maybe, you know, some of them might, I know, really jumped out at you. But let's talk about how some of these things could lead to situations that could create systemic pain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like,
if you want to start with the estrogen type of things, that's fine too.
Yeah, and she talked about hypothyroidism, and she talked about elevated estrogen levels, and both of those, you know, to not never get too deep into the weeds of how cells make energy and cellular respiration, but both of those things, high estrogen and low thyroid, will impair the way cells like to make energy. And I think this is the heart of like fibromyalgia as well as restless leg syndrome, is when the cells are depleted of energy, they can't function properly. Nerves, when they're depleted of energy, they can't return to their normal resting state where they have a nice negative charge inside them. And that calcium that we were talking about earlier can get stuck inside the axon of the, or not the axon, but at the end of the nerve where it's sending out the excitatory neurotransmitters. When that calcium gets stuck there, it will just keep sending out that signal. And we want to give the cells the energy that they need to restore their normal negative resting electric potential. So whatever we can do to help support cellular energy production will help our cells do their jobs and not get stuck, like a muscle getting stuck in contraction. It's maybe a little bit easier and more relatable to think about than for someone who doesn't know like the physiology of a nerve cell. We've all felt like, say you went on a really long run or a workout or whatever, and you get a cramp in your leg when you're running out of energy, your muscle just like locks up. That contraction is because the cell is out of energy. It can't turn off. And that same thing happens to our nerve cells when they're out of energy. They'll get stuck, and their action isn't necessarily contraction of a muscle, though some nerves do stimulate that. Some nerves, their action is sending a pain signal, a tingling signal, a burning signal. So when they don't have the energy that they need, they can't turn off. So when you don't have your thyroid powering their cellular energy production, or if you have elevated stress hormones that are constantly exciting them, they're going to run out of energy and they're going to get stuck in the on position. So we want to combat that and do what we can to restore proper digestion, great nutrition, proper rest, and recalibration of the cells in our nervous system, and that can lead to alleviation of the pain.
You know, what's interesting, when we talked about it, when we had our restless leg syndrome episode, we kind of described it as it was leg anxiety, kind of. And when you think about the things that can go wrong at that tissue level that kind of make you just want to move, to just try and fix whatever the problem is, there's such a wide variety of things that can create that anxiety, but you can see how an elevated state of that from a variety of different causes could turn into pain like this. So, you know, another thing that's interesting is she's taking all of this vitamin D, and vitamin D is needed to pull calcium into the intestinal tract so that we can use it. So we are thankful for that. But these high doses that people are told to take, not only does it pull calcium into the intestinal tract, it pulls calcium out of everywhere else and holds it into the bloodstream. So it's pulling calcium out of the tissues and removing the ability for those tissues to relax, and it gets them stuck in that contracted state, which can create a lot of those problems like Will was talking about. Let's look at what her numbers were from her self-test that she sent in.
Okay, our urine pH, 7.0, saliva pH, 7.5, breath rate, 14, breath hold, 40 seconds, resting blood pressure, 138 over 76, and pulse, 67.
Let's keep going a little bit more.
Okay, last year was a nightmare of stress, which made my fibros so much worse. If I did not stretch at least my shoulders, arms, neck, sciatica, hips, legs before bed each night, I could not sleep because of the pain. My own stretch and exercise program over the prior 10 years due to the onset of fibro and due to the ill effects of RA on my joints. I would not be able to move after just a few days if I do not stretch.
Good. So, and I kind of just pulled some of the main points out of what she says. She has this, she's figured out over years that she has to do this 45-minute stretching routine every day or she's not going to be able to function as a human being. And Will was talking a little bit about how, you know, when you stretch a muscle, it kind of seems, and I don't know that it's the case, Will could probably correct me on this, but it just seems to me that when you stretch a muscle, you have the ability to kind of open up those fibers and maybe let some nutrients in and out that were not in the right place. Maybe you're squeezing out toxins. I don't know, but like if you have a Charlie horse, if you stretch it a lot of times, you can correct that Charlie horse. So we like to see people, instead of having to do all these stretches all the time to manually fix what's going wrong at the cellular and tissue level, you can fix it nutritionally, and then a lot of those problems don't exist so that you have to stretch and do them all the time. Tell me right things, Will.
Yeah, no, you're right. There are toxins that you do literally squeeze out as you help blood flow circulate. Okay. We move through, and a lot of the blood returns back through our circulatory system through contraction of skeletal muscle. You also help the circulation of lymph, so toxins that accumulate in the system can get cycled back out more effectively when we move and contract and stretch. So those are good things, and to me it just speaks volumes of like what more happens when we have impaired metabolism and restricted circulation, those toxins will build up in our tissues a lot more easily because there's more of them and there's more impediment to their flow. So moving is definitely a healthy thing for you to continue to do, and doing the best that you can to improve your metabolism so that your cells don't create so many waste products and so that your cells are better at circulating these metabolic byproducts just sort of on their own. But it's I'm a fan of her continuing this exercise and motion for sure.
Right, and what she said was, we see that Nancy was taking a Protonix for acid reflux, which basically turns off the abilities body to make stomach acid and digest your food properly. So since she has been following what we do in our 4-week digestion course and taking the steps to improve digestion, she says that just in a very short amount of time, that she's already seen improvement to her pain, and there's been a lot of nights where she felt like, I kind of feel like I don't even need to stretch. I don't need to do my 45-minute stretching situations. Maybe I'll just do a few minutes. And she said that she was able to stretch much less and still be okay, but over a 3 or 4 or 5 day period, it started to accumulate, and then she got back to where she couldn't hardly move again. So a lot of times, especially with fibromyalgia, we see people see improvements really over like a 5 to 12 week period. It's not going to be an immediate improvement. So I think that she saw that, yes, I have improved, but I still need to take the steps to kind of help things out until I can improve them, much further.
Yeah.
Let's look at, she had a couple questions about what she was doing.
Does the Protonix cancel out any of the good the beet flow does? You want me to keep going?
Let's ask the other one, too.
I'm wondering what effect the 5 milligrams of prednisone I'm taking will have on the supplements and my readings.
So, first of all, the acid reflux medications don't really turn off the ability of the beet flow to function correctly. They're just turning off your body's ability to make stomach acid. So I've even seen people still taking their acid reflux medication because they're scared to come off of it, but still add HCL to acidify the stomach, and it's fine. They do fine with it. They still can improve. Just it's a little bit pointless, but I'm not going to tell somebody to stop taking a med. They have to figure that out with their doctor. But beet flow is really just about thinning the bile so it can flow, and then you can remove toxins more. So a medication won't turn that off, but any medication can still be a burden on the liver because it's overwhelming the liver so the medication can stay in the system. Do you want to talk about the prednisone stuff a little, Will?
I think you're right. Like, if she is afraid to get off of it, then what we really want to make sure we're doing the best job we can of is facilitating digestion with hydrochloric acid. And that can create the situation where you are able to digest your protein even if you're taking that. So we just need it to be acidic enough for the pepsin to do its job, and that can work. It's kind of like you said, it's a little bit ridiculous,
it's
but
just kind of driving with your gas on the foot and the brake at the same time, but
it can still work though.
Right. It's you're not working against each other. You're just not going to be able to get trigger your body to start making its own HCL so that you can come off of using HCL supplementation as long as you're using any type of PPI medication.
Mm-hmm.
But when we look at everything that was going on with her, she was dealing with a lot of issues. And you can see that it wasn't just one thing. She had been dealing with rheumatoid arthritis, which is usually a case of someone either being in too catabolic of a state and those connective tissues being broken down and not repaired, or maybe someone just doesn't have enough resources and the body is kind of eating itself and breaking down those connective tissues to get more nutrients. So that makes sense that that could have been going on with her since she's been on the acid reflux medications.
Yeah.
When we look at her numbers, we do see a really high urine pH, though, like she may be leaning too anabolic. And of course, that could be the result of all the D3 that she was taking as well. So some complicated things in there, but it's nice to see that just by taking some of the steps in the right direction, she already started to see improvement, not by doing anything to go after the fibromyalgia pain, but instead she's just trying to work with her body and help her body to function like a human would function.
Yeah. I mean, if she can get it back to where, I think the best, you know, the best things she can focus on is try to get it to where her digestion is just really, really great. You know, go through the digestive course, correct it so that you don't need any PPIs, and you can just take HCL if you need to, get it so you can absorb protein and digest your food. Start really emphasizing the collagen and bone broth kind of proteins and see if that has an impact on pain relief. Because if you're able to digest that, it can potentially help people like from like a first dose kind of thing, because it works like a neurotransmitter. And people, I've had people, even just today, I had a client say, oh, I feel totally different and more calm since I started your protein yesterday. Like that kind of thing, not to promote just our protein, but any kind of collagen can do that if you absorb it well. So that might be another thing she could focus on, but really just try to get your digestion to be as great as you can and hang in there with it.
Yeah. Yeah. But doing steps to get more nutrients in that your body could use, whether it's collagen protein or bone broth or just higher quality foods that you're actually digesting, all three of those things can be great.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Let's Michelle see. Emailed us and she says, hi, Tony, Will, and Kenna. Hi, Michelle. I am curious about fibromyalgia and how it correlates to metal in the body, whether it is pins or plates that have been put in. Does the metal cause a person to get fibromyalgia? Thanks.
Well, if we're looking at anything that's creating stress in the body, and what's interesting about, you know, Nancy before, she said that when she had a very stressful period in her life, fibromyalgia was much, much worse. So it's not only stress from your life that can magnify any kind of burden, but you have to look at the stress of the body. And sometimes the stress of the body is created through systemic inflammation, through lack of resources. There's a lot of reasons for a body to be stressed, even if your life is not stressful. And a heavy metal load could be that. What are your thoughts on that, Will, about somebody with the plates or?
Yeah, for sure. Just like an allergy also, like, you know, to kind of relate it to either or, like whether it's a metal in your body that your body's experiencing as an antigen or a thing that stimulates an immune response, that can cause inflammation and that can interfere with cellular energy production. And it can also to be a direct source of pain if there's inflammation around the area because the body's like, oh, what is this? And starts to fight it, you know?
Right.
So that creates histamines and an inflammatory response. So for sure, that can go along with pain in that area.
And I wouldn't think that it would be enough to create a systemic fibromyalgia-type symptom, but mm-hmm. if it's a contributing factor, it would certainly be something that was contributing to other problems going on. I certainly see where it could create pain in a specific area, but I think a person would have to have that plate for a while before it created a systemic thing. Yeah. But it's just another viewpoint of, look, most people dealing with this, it's not one thing. I wouldn't blame just the plate. There's probably a lot of other stuff going on that you could look at.
Yeah. I mean, since there is leaching into the bloodstream, that too can create, you know, a more systemic sort of inflammatory response and problems just like any heavy metal can. And I do not know if they've gotten to the point where they've found, materials that have zero leaching. I don't think that they're at that point.
Right.
With it, there is systemic inflammatory like response that could happen from the leaching metals.
Yeah.
All right. Megan writes, hi, Tony. I'm reaching out to you for help, specifically with my endocrine system, as I'm diagnosed with PCOS, but with all my diagnosis as well. I am sick and tired of being sick and tired. I'm also bipolar with history of severe depression and anxiety, suicide attempt resulting carbon monoxide poisoning, fibromyalgia, history of addiction and alcoholism. Heavier than I would like to be because of antipsychotics, antidepressants, etc., etc. I have tried a million different doctors and approaches, but have trouble sticking 100% to the gluten-free, sugar-free diet I have been prescribed. I'm curious what approaches you would take.
I would take a lot of approaches with all that. And what's interesting about this, and you know, is that she's dealing with fibromyalgia with a lot of these other symptoms that would indicate that there's a lot of other things going wrong. And, you know, one of me and Will's favorite books is The Nutrition in Your Mind by George Watson. And that might be a place that I would start just to better understand that, oh, what I eat counts and can affect my mood, emotional state, mental ability, mental issues, all those things. It's really a big deal. I can't even think of the episodes where we've talked a lot about those type of issues. I know that we did a lot in the bipolar episode. That would be a great one to search for at kickitnaturally.com so you could better understand that.
We did a depression episode too.
The depression episode is a good one to understand. But what's interesting is that she's dealing with PCOS, and that's typically a thing that we see most commonly with an extreme anabolic state, and to the point where it's causing a lot of trouble. And again, that just happens to be where I see most people with the fibromyalgia issues. Not all, just kind of most. So I know that you've tried a million things. I tried a million things with my trouble too. But just know that all of these things, when you put them together, I'm sure Will will agree with, like, yeah, that would make sense that you would have both of those things and that that would go along with that. And so if that makes sense, then I believe that you can look at your chemistry and figure out some things that you can work to improve. And as those improve, some of these issues could improve too, Will Schmidt.
Yeah, I mean, there's probably a whole lot of different things to work on in body chemistry imbalances if you have those sort of issues going on. So I would say a good place to start is our digestive issues course and see where your numbers are, you know, looking at the different self-tests that we teach in that, and looking at your digestive system and how it's working, and start to just try to, you know, take it step by step and try to get your digestion going as powerfully as you can and get your body chemistry as balanced as you can. I like your recommendation of the Nutrition for Your Mind book. And I think, you know, the more and more that you get your body chemistry balanced in those ways, the better you'll feel.
And when you're dealing with a lot of stuff like that, most people, when they look at their chemistry, the chemistry is going to tell them what to do, because you're going to see some things that are very whacked and out of place, and it's going to kind of give you a good place to start. You're not going to be lost. And if you do, then join our free Facebook support group and start asking questions, and people can point you in the right direction.
And we also have an episode, if you are anabolic, you can, you know, hear that podcast too, and it talks about, you know, ways to help
with
that.
Right, right. So let's do one more question, and then we're going to have to hit this other case study next week. We're going to have a three-parter. I can't even believe
it. Wow. Okay, Andrea, Killeen, Texas. I feel like I have constant bruises in the pressure point areas of my body, and I'm wondering if that is a form of fibromyalgia. I've tried all kinds of therapy to get rid of them, but nothing works. I have not gotten my digestion under control yet, though. There is hope.
Yeah, so Will, do you want to hit on that? She said that she wasn't getting actual bruises. It just kind of feels that way. And I don't know if your ankles felt that way or stuff like that.
I mean, they were in constant pain for sure. And I didn't have any visible bruises. I kind of had some sort of inflammation, but that was kind of a more systemic thing. It wasn't necessarily in the areas that locally hurt. There could be some deficiencies where there is sort of like easily bruising or being easy to bruise, and that could come along with some iron imbalances, and it could be a catabolic imbalance. I'd really want to see, like, what are her self-test numbers, though, before I would jump to saying, oh, yeah, for sure, this or that.
Right, and I also wonder where they were, because, you know, one of the tests that they used a long time ago was that they were looking at specific points on the body where if you were tender, like she's talking about in those points, that's how they would diagnose you as fibromyalgia. So it seems like there may be some points that are more susceptible, maybe for the body to be digging for resources or to be causing trouble at the tissue level in those areas. You know, like when we talked about the cellulite episode, especially with women, there's specific areas where those troubles seem to accumulate more. So it's also possible that other issues could be more frequent in specific areas as too. Specific areas too. So we're going to get in another case study next week and some more questions too.
Yeah, and also if you want to do the digestion course, that's great, but we also have a more advanced course too after you're done with that. If you'd like to learn how to become a health coach or even just dig into more advanced teachings for yourself or your family, go to healthprocourse.com to learn about Tony and Will's course for coaches. Registration for this course only opens to the public for about a week at a time, so be sure to register for the coach newsletter so you'll be notified when the next registration opens. You'll find more or info@healthprocourse.com. And you can also go to the site and ask if you want to find a practitioner in your area. You can also put in your
ourcoalition.org.
Ourcoalition.org, and you can put in your zip code and fill that out, and that we could look for a health coach in your area.
Cool.
All right.
See you next week.
All right. See you next week. If you want to learn more about how to look at your own chemistry, you can read any of Tony's books or take the almost free 4-week digestion course at kickitnaturally.com or head on over to Will Schmidt's mybodyofknowledge.net. Lots of great exercises, pain relief videos, blogs, all kinds of great articles and information on there.
Cool.
See you later.
Bye.
Bye.